With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello and welcome to this month's EvoStick NPL Division 1 show. I'm your host, Ben, and coming up in the course of the next half an hour or so, we'll be looking at the promotion races in Division 1 North and Division 1 South, as we'll be joined by the management at Chasetown, at Sheffield FC, at Trafford and at Stamford. We'll also be discussing fundraising at Mosley, and we'll also be catching up with Vossett United. All of that and a little bit more on this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. Welcome. So, hello everybody and welcome to this month's EvoStick Division 1 show. Coming up in this month's show, we've got loads of interviews coming up. We are going to be talking Division 1 South later in the show, as we'll be joined by the management at Chasetown and at Sheffield FC, as well as at Stamford. So that's going to be Division 1 South for this month. But we're going to start off with Division 1 North. The playoff race in Division 1 North and the title race is really heating up. Obviously, South Shields, Hyde United, Scarborough Athletic, Bamber Bridge, Prescott Cables, they've had a cracking go at it, but it's now starting to filter down, it feels, to just South Shields and Hyde United. Scarborough do have games in hand and still can have a late surge for the title, but at the moment, at time of recording, South Shields are 2 points in front of Hyde United. They do have two games in hand, and they're also 7 points clear of Scarborough Athletic. So South Shields and Hyde United. Just to let you know, on the weekly NPL show, we do have an interview with Lee Picton at South Shields, mainly previewing that semi-final in the Integral League Cup next Thursday. But we're going to focus this month, when it comes to Division 1 North, on the playoff race. Scarborough Athletic, Bamber and Prescott Cables currently in the playoff positions. There's obviously a discussion to be had about whether the playoffs go down to 7th, but at the moment, they only go down to 6th, and sitting in 6th position, that's Trafford. Trafford are 4 points in the playoffs. However, the likes of Colwyn Bay, Tadcaster Albion, Cone and Clitheroe, they've all got games in hand and are all lurking behind Trafford. On Friday lunchtime, I caught up with Tom Baker, manager at Trafford, and I started off by highlighting the great run that Trafford have been on in recent weeks.
Yeah, it has. Over the sort of the last 10 days, it's sort of the points return we've took from the games that we're having has been really good. Obviously, last week's result against Hyde was a pleasing one. But like I say, on a whole, since I think we had a 2-2 draw against Skemmersdale at home, which was quite disappointing, but since then the lads have responded really well, and I think we've took 10 from 12, so I can't really ask for any more.
And when it comes to the playoff race, obviously Trafford are in that sixth spot at the moment, and I'm not going to debate with you or discuss the possibility of it, the playoffs going down to 7th or anything like that. It's 6th or nothing at this stage of the season. And there's teams below you with games in hand, but where would you rather be? Would you rather have the points on the board, or would you rather have those games in hand?
I mean, I think I'd rather have the points. I think everyone always says that, don't they? I mean, to be honest with you, at the moment, there's only actually Colwyn Bay that can surpass us if they win the games in hand. But like I say, sort of 10 days ago, it was two or three, well, pretty much all of the sides, Cole, Clitheroe, Tadcaster and Colwyn Bay could have gone past us. Obviously, with us having a little run of late and them dropping some points, there's only Colwyn now that can go past us if they win the games in hand. They've got two at the minute, but having said that, obviously we play them this weekend, so you know, it's just not easy at this stage of the season. You, as sort of the manager of the team that's played the games, sometimes you automatically give them the points, and I think we all know that, you know, football doesn't work like that. So I'm happy where we are. We're in sixth at the minute, we're in good form. We've got Colwyn to play tomorrow, so you know, I'm happy with the position that we're in.
And that's the key. And I mean, we'll get to the Colwyn Bay match in a second. But apart from the game against Radcliffe Borough on Thursday, you are looking at a game a week going into the last few weeks of the season. And you know, there's teams out there having to play three games a week. So is that a challenge in itself to make sure the players keep their eye on the prize?
It is, but I think that's generally a challenge throughout the season, to be honest with you, mate, at this level. But yeah, you know, we've got plenty of time to prepare. You know, the other teams, you know, there's you only have to look at Radcliffe next week, for example. They've got Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So they'll be playing us on the Thursday, having played 5 hours before. Difficult. But yeah, we're just trying to focus on the job that we've got to do. We've got 5 games to go, and we're just going to take it one game at a time.
And the next game, and we already touched upon it, Colwyn Bay away. The A55, isn't it? It's a nice trip down the A55. And a very, very big game, this one. What are you expecting for Colwyn Bay, and how's the squad shaping up going into this one, Tom?
Yeah, it's a huge game. It really is. It's a massive game for both sides. Obviously, they've had a good win last night. But again, like I just spoke about, 48 hours later, it's not going to be easy for them. It's going to be a really tough game. Really tough game. They're a good side. We had a 0-0 draw of them early on in the season. You know, I've not had a lot of time to watch them recently because obviously we've been playing ourselves, but it's a game that we're both going to try and win. It's not going to dictate, you know, where we finish, and I don't think it is for them neither. But, you know, you can't deny it's a big game at this stage of the season now.
Tom Baker there, manager at Trafford. Trafford currently sitting 4 points into the playoffs. However, as we said there in that interview, there's Colwyn Bay and Tadcaster Albion. Trafford travelling to Colwyn Bay on Saturday afternoon. A big, big game there in deciding who's going to finish sixth. But a bit further down the table are the two Ossett clubs, Ossett Town and Ossett Albion. And this past week, it's been announced that Team of the Month for March is Ossett Albion. It's been a cracking set of results for Ossett Albion boss Andy Welsh. And it has also been announced in the past 24 hours or so that Andy Welsh will be the new manager at the newly created Ossett United. And on Friday, I caught up with Chief Executive Phil Smith. So let's hear what he had to say. So welcome back, Phil. Since you last joined us, the name of the club has now been officially announced. Made sense, Ossett United. I went through the whole interview trying to work out ways of not saying the word United, just to give you too much influence. And in the past 24 hours or so, Andy Welsh has been announced as the new boss. And there's a badge as well. It's all been developing. How frantic has it been over the last month or so?
Can I just say very?
Yes, of course you can.
it's a lot of fun. And it's great working on any new brand in any new business. But when the brand's football and it's something you're vesting your time and interest into, and speaking every day to the guys on the street I pass on the way to the ground or where else I'm going, everybody wants a piece. Everybody wants to know what's happening and what's the latest stuff. And of course, there's a timeline of when we can actually announce stuff, but also when we can actually go through stuff and work things out between ourselves. So it's a lot of fun. And things are very positive at the moment.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot of responsibility as well. I mean, you know, you've got the history of Ossett Albion and Ossett Town to consider, but you've also got to think about the future. So even a little thing, and it might seem like a little thing, but the club badge, that must have took a lot of deliberation. And when you're dealing with that minor detail, that goes to show you just how complicated and complex and how much hard work's going into this.
It is, and you know, we did it with a little bit of a light-hearted sort of mentality. There was quite a few personal comments and a few sort of negative and naysayers involved, but you can never physically help, you know, agree with everybody and meet everybody's needs. So what we did, we put it out to the masses. Here's what we like and what we've thought of. However, if anybody out there wants to get involved and send us one, then crack on and do it. And you know what? We had, in the end, we had 14 submitted designs, some fantastic, some, let's say, probably needed a little bit more work. And it got down to two lads whose grandma live in Ossett, and they come over every now and again. And I've been to watch both teams play, but with no agenda. Couple of graphic designers, twin brothers, live in Liverpool, and theirs was voted. It actually got voted about 3,400 more than any of the other ones. We had 142,000 people engaged with it on social media in total, and it was, you know, it was a really good exercise for creating the awareness as well.
And so that's all done. And like we said, in the last 24 hours, it's been confirmed Andy Welsh is going to be taking charge of the new club. And it's obviously club of the month, Fawcett Albion, we should say. The last time we spoke, I had in the back of my mind, what are you going to do if Fawcett Albion gets relegated? But he's done a cracking job of making sure that's not even going to be a problem.
I think I said, mark my words, Fawcett Albion won't go down. And because I'm behind the scenes and working with Andy on a daily basis, we speak 5 or 6 times a day on a quiet day. I don't know if people follow too many of the stats, but when Andy first took over, we had 6 games with no weather interruption. He lost the first and then went unbeaten for the remaining 5. Then over the Christmas, the whole country aware of this. The weather is the only thing that's really beating us. We've had a game, 2 weeks off, one more game, 3 weeks off. And then now he's just had 7 games in a row and he's just gone 7 games unbeaten again.
It's been absolutely fantastic. It really has. So what's next then? You must have a really long to-do list. What's coming up?
I'm speaking to you this very second from a car park where we are on our 4th interview of 9 meeting kit suppliers today.
Fawcett United Chief Executive Phil Smith, a big thank you for taking time out your clearly busy day to come on the show. And when you've got further news, we'll gladly get you back on, no problem at all.
Thanks so much for your time.
Fawcett United Chief Executive Phil Smith there, and a big congratulations to Andy Welsh on his appointment as the new manager of Fawcett United for next season, and a big congratulations as well for Team of the Month when it comes to Fawcett Albion for the month of March. Just before we leave Division 1 North, I'd like to draw your attention to the fundraising going on at Mosley AFC. Mosley AFC have launched a new community fund to raise funds to improve their Seal Park home. And on Friday, I caught up with Matthew Hayton from Mosley AFC to learn more about their community fund.
Okay, so the idea behind it is for the football club, Mosley AFC, to play a bigger role in the local community. It's probably fair to say that Mosley is lacking in leisure facilities. So we kind of see ourselves as playing a pivotal role, if you like, in the community in the future. We want people locally to be able to use Seal Park. We want people to use our clubhouse, the changing facilities, the pitch as much as possible. And we appreciate that when we want them to do that at the same time, we need to make some improvements to the ground. So, for example, we're trying to raise some money so we can resurface the driveway and the approach into Seal Park. That's particularly important to kind of improve the experience for disabled supporters. And then we also want to kind of upgrade our home changing rooms and replace some of the roofing around the ground. Because the roof is important, it's a great source of income for the club, our social club, and the changing rooms. We want the youth teams that play for us to all come in-house, if you like, make better use of it. And we've got some great kind of local groups that use Seal Park already. We've got a disabled club, and we've also got a youth club. And so we think we can offer a better experience for everyone.
And anyone who's ever been to Seal Park, I love the ground. It's a cracking venue to watch a football match with some great vantage points and stuff. But why do you think it's important for Mosley to transform itself this way and to be a bit more outward looking when it comes to the ground?
As you said, the ground is stunning and it offers so much more than football. As I said, people in Mosley, they have to travel outside of Mosley to enjoy some leisure facilities. And we think that our crowds are going up, and our supporters are probably enjoying this season more than they have for a while, even though it's not always gone quite according to plan on the pitch. Off the pitch, we're making great strides. We brought ourselves closer to our local community. We've helped with food banks. We've formed really good partnerships with the local Emmaus Mosley group. We've donated kit to them. They, in return, are kind of helping us with stewards at games. We host the Mosley 10K race. There is so much more that we could do, but we just need some help to get there first. So the experience that when we do offer it is much better for everyone involved.
And it feels like a lot of clubs have started to do this more and more and embed themselves in their communities. And it's cracking stuff. And it is kind of a win-win, isn't it? Because the more you do with community groups and in the town and that kind of thing, the more exposure the club gets and the more likely they are to pop down on a Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely. for example, back in November, we had our kind of fireworks display, and we had over 1,000 people there, and we handed out tickets for the next game, and our crowd was 451. So the potential is there. People in Mossley are taking notice of the football club. The local co-op supermarket have been helping us out with our fundraising activities. Our name is getting out there, and we want to make sure that people see that we're doing our best locally as well.
And when it comes to how people can get involved in the fundraising, there's ways of doing it when it comes to one-off donations, but also standing orders and that kind of thing. Is any other fundraising methods going on at the club?
Yep, so we do have the website, which you can find details of on our Facebook and Twitter accounts. We are doing all sorts of fundraisers. We've got a sportsman's dinner coming up, which has kindly been sponsored by Chris Hay at Total Rope Solutions, one of our club sponsors. And he's helped coordinate that and bring that together. It's already sold out. We've got some kind of great activities at that. That will hopefully raise additional funds, because whilst we're doing this kind of community fundraising now, and that's looking ahead to the future, we've already been doing work on the ground ourselves with the funds that we've been raising throughout the season. The best way to help us is, of course, come along to a game, because you get something in return. You get to come watch some local non-league football, some really good young players, and that stunning view and great pies. So what else do you need?
Exactly. Mushy peas would be nice. Anyway, yeah, I know you do mushy peas, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
just to say, the link to the fundraising page is also available in the description to this podcast. And Matthew Hayton, a big thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to come on the show. Best of luck this weekend. Who you got this weekend? It's Ossett Town, isn't it? Ossett Town. Yes.
Yep.
Looking forward to that one?
Absolutely. Yes. First home game for our new management team. We're really looking forward to it.
And to be fair, we've covered it on this week's show as well. You've got enough games to look forward to as well, because you've got to cram them all in. I should say, is the pitch looking all right there at Sill Park after all the rain?
Yeah, we were there last night at a committee meeting, and it's looking excellent thanks to our volunteers.
Perfect. Well, Matthew, a big good luck this weekend. Keep up the excellent work, and we'll speak to you soon. Matthew Hayton there from Mosley AFC. And in the description to this podcast, you'll be able to find the link to that community fundraising page. But that's Division 1 North. Let's look now at Division 1 South. Coming up shortly, we're going to be hearing from the management at Chasetown and at Sheffield FC. But we're just going to start off with the top, talking about Basford United. They've not yet won the title. We are going to be hearing from Basford United in the coming weeks. On Saturday, Basford United go head-to-head with Alverchurch. Alverchurch, I don't think, are after the title, but they are after finishing in second, and that's a very, very important match, that, between Basford United and Alverchurch. Alverchurch are in a bit of a tussle with Bedworth United currently, but you can't really rule out Frickle Athletic, and you can't rule out Stamford either. And speaking of Stamford, on Friday afternoon, I caught up with their manager, Graham Drury, to find out what the mood in the camp was like at the Zico.
Yeah, it's been really good, Ben. The boys have been fantastic since Christmas, really. We've kept a lot of clean sheets, scored a few goals as well, and won a lot of games. I think we've lost one in the last 10. So, it's been really good for us.
We've got Scott Dundas coming up in a second or two. You must have been really, really happy with that 6-0 win on Saturday. It kind of just... Was that kind of like, we want to cement our place in the playoffs now, we don't want any nonsense towards the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic result. I mean, the court was on a very good day. We was on fire from minute one, really. We knew it'd be a tough game because Scott's got the lads buzzing there, and they're really pushing us. They're on the coattails, and, we had to go there. We was at home, and they had to come to us, and obviously we had to start the game well, and we scored within the first few minutes, and it set the tone of the game. But, no matter who you play, it's a busy end of the season now, and we've got to put in performances week in, week out, just to cement our place in them playoffs.
And that's kind of the dilemma you've got at the moment, isn't it? You, on the surface, it looks like Stamford are in the playoffs, but, it's a couple of results, points swinging the other way, and it's tense and nervous times. How are you maintaining focus in the dressing room?
Much work to do with the boys, to be fair. They're fully focused themselves, They go out there, they train well, they work hard on a Saturday. There's a lot of desire in the camp to get into them playoffs. I'm just a figurehead of it, really, just giving them the extra push. But I say the lads have been tremendous, and you know, to lose one game in the last 10, you'd have thought we'd have been well in the playoffs now and pushing up past that fifth spot. But we've not moved. We've stayed in that fifth spot, and everybody keeps winning, and teams below us keep pushing us. But we've just got to rise to the challenge, you know, week in, week out, and make sure that we cross the line.
And coming up, you've got some big games, obviously Spalding United this weekend and then a Wednesday game against Corby. But generally, you've not got the problem that some managers have had where you're trying to cram in so many fixtures. I mean, the last game of the season, you're going to be playing Cleethorpes, and by that time, I'm imagining they're going to have to play four games that day or something. That day, exactly.
But no, I mean, if you look at the next two games, the local derbies, Spalding and Corby, Corby beating my old club as well, so there's an extra bit of spice to that. So these are going to be two really tough games. I think if we can, you know, get by these two local derbies with a good point return and go into, I think it's Loughborough, Romulus and Gresley, I think the lads will be confident they could cross the line. And then obviously, like you say, hopefully Cleethorpes are absolutely off the feet when they come and play us at home, and hopefully it's to move us up a few spaces, not just stay in fifth place.
Now, I'm going to ask you a stupid question, if that's all right, Graham, and you can answer
it.
Are you obviously, you know, what's the mood like now at Stamford? Are you toying with the idea of that third place perhaps being on the table of sealing home advantage when the playoffs, or does that not come into your mind at all in this stage of April?
No, I don't think you can do that. I think, you know, the old cliche, look at each game as it comes, and, you know, hopefully we can do well in the last six games, take as many points as possible, and hopefully it will move us up the table. You know, we can pinch that fourth or third spot to give us home advantage, but, you know, sides like Alvechurch, you're not going to slip up too much. I think they've cemented the second place. The pressure's all on Alvechurch to do that. You know, Frickley have got two strikers that have proven, you know, nearly 60 goals this year between them. I think it may even be 60. So they're going to take some stopping a pinch in the third spot. Bedworth, I thought, would drop off, but credit to Stuart and the boys there. You know, they've kept going, and the results, I thought, oh, they might slip here today. They've gone and turned a great performance in and got a win. So it's going to be tough. You know, all we're interested in is getting in them playoffs. Obviously, we've had 21 clean sheets this year. So yeah, Getting into the playoffs and keep clean sheets in the playoffs, you know, we get promotion. It's as simple as that. So we've got to get in there, and hopefully these clean sheets continue and we, you know, can push on to the next division.
I mean, that was going to be my final thought, Graham, because obviously you touched upon the strike force that Frickle Athletic have got. Let's talk about your defence. Outside of Basford United, the best defence in the league. I mean, it's a cracking record. Just 29 league goals conceded.
No, it's not just the keeper in the back four. The whole team press really well to get the ball back. The forwards, you know, defend from the front, and it's something we say. You know, it's the minimum requirements of is hard work, and I think all over the park the lads are really, you know, added to the clean sheets, and it gives Dan Aistead, the keeper, you know, plenty to celebrate, to be fair.
Graham Drury there, manager at Stamford. So Stamford currently sitting in fifth position. And as we covered in that interview on Saturday, a fine victory for Stamford, beating the side currently sitting in sixth position, Chasetown, by 6-0. Quite a result there. However, Chasetown did bounce back on Monday, beating Romulus by 2-0. And on Friday, I caught up with manager at Chasetown, Scott Dundas, and I started off by gauging his reaction of his side bouncing back on Monday with that win against Romulus.
Yeah, we needed to get Saturday out of the way pretty quick, and I was really pleased with the response and the clean sheet.
When it comes to where we are at the moment with regards to the playoff places, I mean, it has been a very, very competitive season, and you know, you've had to play the likes of Stamford and Bedworth United and Lincoln United, all tough games. But you must be happy with the way, I'm imagining, you're having to dig deep at this stage of the season.
We are, yeah, like most squads, I suppose. We've only got limited amount of numbers, you know, no reserve team, and you know, the academy side, they're just that little bit too young at the moment for be playing, especially when you're pushing for playoffs. So yeah, it's little bit limited squad-wise with the games coming around thick and fast, but, you know, really pleased that we're still in with a contention of being in there from what we had at the start of the season. So, yeah, really good.
I mean, how difficult is it to go from playing the likes of Stamford and having to do that kind of preparation and team talk and that kind of thing for a game against a playoff rival, and then having to play the potential banana skin of Romulus just a couple of days later? How difficult is it to prepare for those type of games?
It's pretty much the same, to be honest with you, because, like you said earlier, that, you know, it's a very competitive league and everybody can beat everybody. I think, you know, Romulus were bottom when we played them Boxing Day, and obviously they beat us 2-1 last minute. So, you know, it's very easy for us to just say the same things because everybody can beat everybody in this league, and that's what we've got to carry on telling the players from the last 7 games and just see how many more points we can get.
Now, as we've said, you know, Chase Town in 6th position at the moment, 3 points ahead of Leek Town. Lincoln United have just got Team of the Month. They put a late surge on for the playoffs. It's still awfully competitive, but you do have the games in hand as well, we should say. But we've got this month of April coming up, and we've touched upon it with all managers at all levels of the Northern Premier League. There's a lot of games to cram in here. How are things shaping up at Chase Town?
Say we've got, I think, 7 left in the next 3 weeks. Not as bad as some teams. I'd hate Bickleythorpe's manager, to be honest with you, but it's going to be difficult, like say, Saturday, Tuesday now to the end of the season. But, you know, the lads have just got to prepare. They've worked hard all season, all like 10 months since we've been in with them. And just for the last 3 weeks, I think they can just try and dig that little bit deeper, and hopefully we can get the points we require.
And how difficult is it as a manager to, at this stage of the season, where you know you've got something to play for and something quite important to play for when it comes to, you know, at the club, and you know, to manage the squad? I mean, have you been looking around to bolster at the edges and maybe bring in some reserve players or that kind of thing? How difficult is that side of things?
Yeah, that's what we've had to do, obviously, with the lads that we've signed. I mean, on Monday, for instance, I had a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old up front, and you know, it's not ideal going into the playoffs, but it's just what you have to do. It's just the lads you have to use, and you know, it's non-league football at the end of the day, and you know, it's good in a way to give the boys a chance, especially the younger lads. But you know, when you're going for playoff positions, you just need that little bit more experience, and it's just one of them things. You just have to deal with it, and you have the lads that you have the budget that you're given, and yeah, you have to work within that.
Good to say, and obviously, you know, we've got a restructure coming up, so hopefully the travelling will be a lot less for Chase Town next season. But you got a nice away trip to Corby, which is miles away for Chase Town this weekend, and you know, then you've got a couple of home matches and a trip away to Sheffield FC and the aforementioned Cleethorpes, who probably at that stage of the season will still have about 10 games left to play the season as well. So the games are coming thick and fast. How's the squad looking finally, and what's your expectations and how are you keeping everyone's feet on the ground and making sure that 6th spot stays with Chase Town?
Like I say, squad wise, not looking too bad. Like I say, we've only got a limited amount of players anyway, so you know, after the 17-18 players, I think, you know, we've got 15-16 of them available, not injured at the moment, so that's good news. Expectation wise, it's not that big really, because obviously at the start of the season we only had the goalkeeper when we came into the team, and you know, we've just created our own expectations really of doing so well. And you know, the chairman just keep mentioning the playoffs here, there and everywhere, but we just play it down really, and you know, just tell, it's hard to, like you say, but we just tell the lads, you know, it's just another game, just get on with it, see how many points you can accumulate, and then see where you are at the end of the season. It would be nice if we could put in a nice little run together now, not end up just 6th, still possible. Like you say, we have lots and lots of games. So, you know, to have home advantage is massive in the playoffs, I think. But you know, an away form apart from the last couple of games has been pretty good as well. I think we've won 8 away, which is good. And then I'll just see where we are.
I mean, I wasn't even going to mention, you know, home advantage in playoff semi-finals or anything like that. I was going to keep on the level for you, Scott. but you know, it's like you say, it's still a possibility. I mean, you're only 3 points behind Stamford with a game in hand, and you know, 3 points behind Frickley as well. So that side of things is still all to play for. But I'm doing you a nice favour by not even asking you about that side of things.
No worries. But no, Scott, I'll be more than happy just to be in it. I don't, you know, like you say, I don't care where we've got to go, but. You know, if we get in there, then it's, you know, it's a massive achievement for us. So we're just looking to carry on and try and do that.
Scott Dundas there, manager at Chasetown. So Chasetown currently sitting 3 points in the playoff positions. They play 2 games less than Leake Town, who currently sits outside the playoff positions. And then there's Lincoln United, 7 points behind the playoffs at the moment. Lincoln United won Team of the Month for March, are in a great run of form at the moment. Also in a decent run of form is Sheffield FC. Sheffield FC have changed their management in recent weeks. In charge now on a caretaker basis is Chris Dolbe. And on Friday, I caught up with Chris and I started off by congratulating him on the recent good run of form at the South Yorkshire club.
We needed a reaction. I think that's why the change was made. I'm a director at the football club. So wearing a number of hats, you know, I work full time for the football club as well. So stepping in as caretaker manager, we was looking for a reaction from the players, and we've certainly got that.
And a reaction was needed as well, not because maybe Sheffield FC were in danger or anything like that. It was more the fact that no, you couldn't predict what was about to happen, because thinking back to the league table in January, February, March time, one of about, I'm going to suggest about 15 teams, I'm exaggerating, but nearly 10 teams could have been in the relegation picture in Division 1 South. It was a bit precarious.
It was and still is, really, to an extent. You know, we look at the table, we look at the bottom end as well, and looking at how, you know, how tight things have been this season, and still are. You know, we know we're not out of danger as yet, and we've still got, you know, a number of games to go until we can put that to bed and not to relax on our remaining fixtures, but to know that we're going to be in the league next year. So that is still you know, our 100% focus to ensure that we have an Evo Stick team next year.
And that's you touched upon something there, and it is about fixtures. And obviously Romulus are currently in that trapdoor spot, but it's a double-edged sword, this, because obviously they've played a fair few games more than everyone else. But you have to, along with everyone else around you, have to cram in a load of fixtures. You've got Leake Town this weekend, then Cleethorpes on Monday, then you've got a game on Thursday, Saturday, Tuesday. It's tough, isn't it, to fit in all these fixtures, especially with the weather still so unpredictable.
It is. It's tough. It's tough on, you know, you don't want to forget about, you know, the volunteers. You know, we first of all, you think about people that are making the game happen, you know, the volunteers around the ground and people that give up their sort of time, especially this time of the year where games are coming thick and fast. And so they take a lot of credit, not only at Sheffield FC, but up and down the country at, you know, all the non-league clubs. You know, then you look at the players, you know, they've got families, they've got full-time jobs, and then the bodies of the players as well. You know, you're sort of patching them up and, you know, getting them ready for the next. You know, we've got 48 hours and from Thursday's game, and then we're at it again. So it's really demanding, but it gives you a chance to use your squad and hopefully, like I said, get over the line and you know, make sure that we are an Evo Stick team next season.
And as you said earlier, Chris, you are a director as well, so you've got to wear several hats when it comes to Sheffield FC. 2 home games coming up. What's been the demands when it comes to the weather? I mean, on this show we've been talking about Shaw Lane, but there's a lot of teams struggling with pitches at the moment and the weather conditions. And it, just because it was sunny on Thursday, doesn't make the water go away. How difficult has it been, the wintry conditions a couple of weeks ago and now the rain?
Yeah, I mean, the conditions have played a major part in games being called off up and down the country. And, you know, it's been freakish, really, the weather that we've had. You know, you're looking at April and snow on the ground, and so it's been really strange. But, you know, we invest in our pitch in regards. You know, we have a Super League team. Our ladies play in the Super League, so that's a very high level of women's football. So we have to make sure that the pitch is in top condition, and we do. We do invest Premier pitches, look after our ground, and do a fantastic job. But even that, having top quality people on it, still. You know, when the snow comes down and the rain's coming down and lots of games, you know, it just takes its toll.
And finally, Chris, obviously, you know, you have got to squeeze in these fixtures, and there's, as you said, you're not counting your chickens yet when it comes to safety. But you must have one eye when it comes to the close season and what's going to happen next at Sheffield FC. What's your thinking as a director and as the caretaker manager?
Yeah, we want to get to the end of the season and get as many points on the board as we can, and then we'll sit down and assess, you know, where we are and where we want to be. We've got a vision, you know. We Sheffield FC, we're quite unique in regards being the world's first football club, and we have a global brand in regards developing our brand internationally, and that's a big part of what my day to day role is. Working on international programs and trying to ensure that Sheffield FC is around for another 161 years. So on the grass, we want to make sure that we're competitive. We want to develop the on the field program and make sure that we're competitive in regards, hopefully one day moving up the table and maybe getting out of the league and moving onwards and upwards.
And that, dear listener, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to all my guests this week for joining me. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the league website. That's at evostickleague.co.uk. You can also follow this show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. Remember, the weekly NPL Show is now also out on this channel. On there, we've got loads of interviews, but from a Division 1 perspective, we've got a little bit of a preview for those Integro League Cup semi-final ties next week, as we'll be joined by the management at Atherton Collieries and at South Shields. So that's available also on Audio Boom and the league website. Just look for the NPL Show. But that's it for March's edition of the Division 1 Show. We'll be back later in the month to find out what's going on with the playoffs and the title race and relegation. But for this particular show, I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Division 1 side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.